back to the bin.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Back to the Bins. I'm Paul Spataro, and I am here today with my very good friend, David Pascarella, on what is approximately the anniversary of our, I don't know, what would it be, 10th, 11th, 12th, 12th, 12 years that we've been friends, something like that?
It's got to be about 12. I think 12 is a good number.
And the reason we come up with that is because we first met face-to-face after meeting on Facebook at New York Comic Con. And it is this weekend that there's New York Comic Con. So it is approximately our friendiversary.
Happy friendiversary to you.
What'd you get me?
I got you a... Yeah, it's a surprise.
Good answer. All right, I can't argue with that. So today we're just kind of taking a look at yet another series where I am a fan, but I can't say I've read a whole lot of it. But my fanhood, fanship, fan whatever, has been sparked of late anyway, and that's the Doom Patrol. Now, I first became aware of the Doom Patrol early on in my collecting when I used to go to Joe Erb's bookstore on 86th Street, 19th Avenue,
yeah.
And we would flip through the back issue bins, and I would see the last three issues of the series were reprint books, and they would be in that 25-cent bin, you know, with the marked in the corner, and I picked those up. And for some reason, I always found them fascinating from that. And there's such a correlation between them and the X-Men, the handicapped leader, just, you know, the misfits, all of that stuff. But the back issues that weren't those last three reprints, which also kind of is similar to the X-Men because they went into reprints, the back issues beyond that were always kind of unobtainable. I never really saw them anywhere for any decent price. And then in the last year or so, I keep finding them in, you know, around the $5 range, which is, I think, pretty reasonable for those books. And now of the... I think there's between My Greatest Adventure, which is where the series started, and then it changed over to Doom Patrol. Between the two, I think there's approximately 45 or so issues. And of those 45, I probably own now about 28, say, somewhere around there. And never paying any significant money for any of them. Now, I assume if I find the first issue, which is My Greatest Adventure number 80, it's either 80 or 82. I don't recall off the top of my head. But I assume that if I find that one, it's going to cost, you know, significantly more than $5. But, you know, that may be worth paying more for anyway. It'll be the first appearance. But like I said, I always kind of found the team kind of just fascinating to me. And then they had a little reboot in Showcase Comics, which is what we're going to actually take a look at one of the issues today. But when they ended their run as the Doom Patrol before those three last issues, they actually killed off the team in an explosion set off by the bad guys, where they kind of sacrificed themselves. It was like, we're going to either blow up where you are right now, we're going to blow up this city. And the Doom Patrol said, no, you blow us up.
Did they think about it for a while?
It looked like they thought about it for a minute.
I don't know.
And they kind of hit on that in the reprint. Well, not the reprint, but they hit on that in the flashback of the issue that we're covering today.
The reboot.
But then eventually they decided to reboot them, and Paul Kupperberg was the writer for it. And he apparently had a love of the team. But then when he rebooted it, it seemed like it just didn't have the right mix to be popular. And what he did was he brought back Robot Man, because it was easy enough to write somehow that he survived this explosion since he's a Robot Man. And then he created a new team around him. And that team just never caught on. And they were only in three issues of Showcase at that point. They eventually were revived in... Oh, I don't even know what year it was. Let me see if I can find it here. It looks like shortly post-crisis. Let's leave it at that. And then what happened was they did a few issues of it, and then it wasn't really catching on again. And then Grant Morrison took over, and I'm not really the biggest Grant Morrison fan because it was just, from what I saw of it, it looked like it was extremely trippy and not really something that I was interested in. So, you know, I just kind of let that go. And I didn't pick it up. But then eventually they appeared in the Teen Titans cartoon, which was pretty cool the way they did them there. And then they revived them. John Byrne revived them eventually. And I didn't think that was so bad. He did add like two new members that weren't really all that interesting, but I didn't think it was nearly as bad as what they tried
to.
Was
that in the 2000s?
It was the early 2000s.
And I think it crossed over with the Justice League comic at the time.
Yeah, they introduced them initially in the Justice League. They had like a two-issue story, and then it went off into their own series that I think there were 18 issues, if I'm right. And I probably have about 15 of them. I was going to pick up the last three in the dollar bins if I could find them.
I think I bought the first six or the first eight, something like that. I didn't go beyond that either.
Yeah, I can't say I went nuts with it either. So, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, I plan on sitting down and rereading that because I've had a recent renaissance of my John Byrne fanhood where I want to read his stuff more than I, you know, some of the stuff that I kind of gave up on towards the end of his prolific run. So I want to go back and I want to reread through those. I want to reread through whatchamacallit, I'm trying to think of what the hidden X-Men, the Hidden Years, those kind of books, the ones that he came out like towards the end again of his prolific.
Now, didn't X-Men and Doom Patrol come out roughly the same time?
Like, I believe they did. So I think there's some controversy as to who had the idea of the crippled team leader first, or the handicapped team leader. Let me politically correct myself.
You should do that.
I do that. I often do that. I think there was some controversy. It's kind of like Swamp Thing and Man Thing, you know, which one came first, and they kind of both came around the same time. So who knows? But you know, I always found, like I said, I found the characters to be interesting. I found the team to be kind of compelling to me, and yet I've never sat down and kind of read it from beginning to end. And at least, you know, the original run, which I want to do because it's not like it's such a huge run that it would be hard to read it. So we've determined our the year of our initial meeting.
No, that's the year after. We didn't take a picture the first year.
Aw.
So it's our 10-year anniversary, friend.
It's our 10-year friendiversary. What do they make for? Is that paper?
Who knows? Probably.
You can buy me that
comic book.
Doom Patrol. So, then does it really count as our friendiversary? Because we had been communicating on Facebook and kind of had a little bit of a friendship going before we met face to face anyway. So I don't know if it even counts.
I think it doesn't count. So screw it.
Yeah, it's you know what? We'll start now. A year from now, we'll be friends 1 year. Do you have any Doom Patrol background?
I did start reading it for a while in the 2000s in the Byrne run, because I, like you said, I think it started out as a spin out of Justice League, right?
Right.
JLA.
I remember having like a four-armed gorilla that he added to the group, and I kept thinking, huh, why would you do that? So.
Yeah, it's like a four-armed Doomsday. Why would you do that either?
Good point. I don't know.
But I read about six of those, and the I'm trying to recall what the hell I was reading. I almost want to think there was some book in the 80s that had Doom Patrol characters in it, particularly Negative Woman, because I do recall that. I'm trying to remember what it was. There's a part of me that wants to say it was Green Lantern, but that can't be right, right?
Yeah, anything could be right. Let me. I'm just trying to look. I have some notes here that I just kind of.
And I had read. There's an early issue of Post-Crisis Doom Patrol that crosses over with the Superman makes an appearance. Post-Crisis. Mm-hmm. And I had bought that one because I was trying to get every Superman appearance.
Good luck so with that.
That was my introduction to the Doom Patrol. I think, though, that was somehow rebooted as the classic Doom Patrol.
Well, just looking on the Wikipedia page, it said there was, you know, they came up with a new version of the team after the Showcase one. And then it said, even as the months, or actually for after the three-issue series, it said the new version of the team did not receive its own series. And then it says, however, the team did receive a series of guest appearances in various DC titles, such as Superman Family, in a three-part arc in the Supergirl feature that was intended for the recently canceled Super Team Family. DC Comics Presents, teaming up with Superman in a story that revealed that Vostok's powers had changed to match Larry Trainor's exactly, and Supergirl. Robot Man also appeared as an occasional supporting character in the Marv Wolfman, George Perez era Teen Titans. Yeah, that I remember. Looking to see if there's anything about Green Lantern, and I'm just trying to go through it quickly, and I'm not seeing that.
I could be completely wrong. Maybe it's not.
Or you could be 100% right, and I'm just not seeing
it. I am rarely 100% right. I got a wife who will explain to you how I'm rarely right, if ever.
Yeah, I fooled my wife into thinking I'm right a lot.
I have two kids, too, who will tell you wrong I am constantly.
None of my kids think I'm right about anything. Yeah, it's just, Dad, you couldn't be more wrong. Yeah,
Doom Patrol number 10 from 1988. That's the first Doom Patrol I bought.
Okay. Well, like I said, my early ones were the reprint issues with the, I think it was the Anna Vega Minaman or whatever it was. He was like animal, vegetable, and mineral. And then he made an appearance on the Batman Brave and the Bold cartoon also.
Yeah.
The Doom Patrol was on, and he was appearing on it as well.
And so, the other Doom Patrol I have is it's from 2004, issues 1-5. And that seems to me, looking at the covers, that's the classic Doom Patrol. Right? Rita Farr.
Yeah. Well, they eventually revived him, and I think what they did, I don't think they ever retconned out them getting killed. I just think with the... you know, after Crisis, I think they just kind of brought them back at some point.
I think I almost think there was a reference to them being killed in that 2004 series.
It's very possible. Again,
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Well, neither of us do, which is why we have so many listeners. Because at least we're willing to admit when we don't know something, which is a lot more than other people on the internet. So, once again, we're taking a look at Showcase Volume 1, number 94, which came out in September of 1977. The cover is drawn by Jim Aparo, which I would never have picked out based upon looking at the cover. It shows the newfangled Robot Man carrying the old Robot Man's body with the new members of the Doom Patrol standing behind a gravestone that says Doom Patrol RIP. And it's pretty cool. I thought it was a pretty cool.
Let me tell you how stupid I am. I never read this before. And looking at the cover, I thought these were the people who killed the Doom Patrol.
Well, you know what? If you never read it before, you'd have no reason to know who they are, though, because they are not the traditional Doom Patrol. The story is called The Doom Patrol Lives Forever, and it is written by Paul Kupperberg, penciled by Joe Staton, inked by Joe Staton, colored by Liz Berube, lettered by Bill Morse, and edited by Paul Levitz. Now, the synopsis that they give you on the DC Wiki is exactly why. It's one of the best arguments that can be given in favor of Scott Gardner's position that we should not read pre-canned synopsises. So for exactly that reason, I'm going to read it before I actually describe the events of the book.
I believe that's a policy that's been implemented. It's not a preference, it's policy.
Yeah, well, let him kick me off the show. The one that's on the wiki says, mere months after their seeming demise, Robot Man washes up on a beach in the Caribbean where he is found, rescued, and repaired by Doc Magnus. Returning to the DP's old HQ, where he finds and briefly fights a group of people calling themselves the Doom Patrol, Celsius, Tempest, and Negative Woman, they reveal that General Immortus is seeking new immortality formula developed by Niles Calder. Immortus attacks, eventually disabling them with a powerful noxious gas. Now, there's nothing about that synopsis that's wrong, but it really doesn't give you any feel for what's going on in the issue. So no. I will concede Scott's argument on that. So looking at the book and giving you a somewhat better synopsis, the story starts with a recap of the demise of the original Doom Patrol, where they do elect to say, basically give a middle finger to the villains, and say, fire away. And then it immediately cuts to months later, where you see Robot Man's arm come out of the water and his body slowly surfaces. And then he drags himself to the shore. And it says how he's basically feeling the pain as if he is not a robot. And he's begging for help. And then we cut away to, I guess, months later, where he's been fitted with a new body, and he is coming through the streets, and he goes to the original home of the Doom Patrol, thinking that, it's been abandoned for all this time. But then when he sits and broods for a little while, and then he comes upon the new people who are taking over, and they all have nice matching costumes, which is also something the original Doom Patrol really didn't have, I don't believe. I don't believe Elastic Woman and Negative Man had matching costumes. Anyway, so they immediately start fighting because he sees them as interlopers, and he's actually beating them until Negative Woman just kind of goes into him and just makes him crumble to the ground. And then they discuss it, and they realize that they all have the same motive and that they are attempting to be a new Doom Patrol. So they decide, or they realize, they advise him about General Immortus's desire to get a new immortality formula that was developed by the original chief. Meanwhile, they're all being very, very closed-mouthed about what their origins are. And then they end up in battle very quickly with General Immortus and his followers, which are many. And then they're battling well. And they're basically taking out all these followers, but then when they face General Immortus, he covers Negative Woman with lead to prevent her from doing anything. And, they manage to still come upon him, but then he releases some sort of nerve gas, and they all pass out, and it's to be continued. So the summary that I read to you does kind of cover all of that, but it just does so just a little bit too quickly. And then it's telling us next issue they're going to reveal the secret of what's going on, which I believe is that she was Celsius was the wife of the chief. I think that was the secret, if I remember right. So
sounds good to me.
Now I run hot and cold. Now on a whole I like Joe Staton a lot. But sometimes I run a little hot and cold on his stuff, and it's more or less like, what is he best suited for? Because he's got a very, very distinct style in its own way, similar in some ways to people like Steve Ditko, or I know Scott hates him, but Frank Robbins, people like that, where it's so distinct, or Carmine Infantino. I'm trying to think of other people like that, where you need to put them on the right project or their style just doesn't look right to me. And I think with the original tone of the Doom Patrol, the way the stories were meant to be a little quirky, not quite the Grant Morrison quirky, but just a little bit more quirky than normal, I think the Staton style would have fit that really well. But this seems to be attempting to be more of a traditional superhero book. And unless it's a book that's like a period piece taking place, in the past, I'm not really so thrilled with Staten on just a regular traditional superhero book. I don't know if that's going to be a popular opinion, but that's kind of my thing. I think the art is good. I just don't think it suits the material as well.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's to steal a line from Andy Leyland. It's all right. But it's not over the top. Oh, it's fantastic. It's serviceable.
Yeah, and I think it's serviceable because it might be a mismatch of talent. Not because the talent isn't there, not because the art is bad, but because I think his style is suited to something a little bit more quirky than this. And I don't think this, I think this is a pretty much a straightforward superhero tale. And I don't know that his style is best for that.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%.
I like Staten on say the JSA, which is more of a period piece. It was E-Man for Charlton, where it's a little bit more of a quirky story, you know, things like that. So, right. And I do feel like, again, I think we've lost, although I understand that Kupperberg was a big fan of the Doom Patrol. I think this is, you know, early in his writing career. I don't know how old he was at the time, but I'm thinking he was probably pretty young. And he doesn't seem to have that quirky tone that I was kind of looking for. And I don't know, what it would have done. It's not one of these things where I could sit here and say, well, had he done this, it would have been better. I can't really come to a specific thing as far as that goes. But I'm just feeling like there might be something, some way that he could have, again, just made this a little bit more quirky. I think it's more or less that, to me, the Doom Patrol, like the X-Men, were always presented as real outsiders. They basically became a team because they couldn't fit in with normal society. And I don't get that feel from this.
Well, to me, it was very X-Men-esque, to give it that thing, where I think that from my brief reading, that they were actually not liked. Is that wrong?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I don't think they were perceived by the general public as heroes, even though they were willing to sacrifice their lives to be.
It kind of doesn't work for me in the DC universe, to be honest, because it seems like every hero is a hero, and the public loves them.
Well, that was the thing they did in that JLA, the JLA Avengers crossover. When the Avengers come in, they see like the Flash Museum, right. And they're like, what's that museum?
It just doesn't seem to work. And maybe that was the charm of it, I guess, to have
and,
one.
And that may be why it got canceled, you know, because it's a different universe. It's a different presentation. But then, you know, I did feel like they tried to Marvel up the DC universe as things went on. You know, that was like bringing George Perez and Marv Wolfman over to do the Teen Titans is, you know, marveling it up. Of course, that happened a few years after this. So, you know, I see some of that they were trying to get. This does feel more Bronze Age-ish than a lot of what we had out of the DC universe at this time. You know, DC, and we've talked about this in the past too, how they kind of got caught up in the Silver Age, and it took them for a while to mature to Bronze Age status and beyond. And this is one of the books of that era that I can point to and say, well, this is kind of Bronze Age-ish.
So right. I like it. In a mostly silver universe, this is Bronze Ages.
Yes, exactly. Well said. So, you know, I think that's one aspect of it. I think given more time to develop this series, Kupperberg probably could have, you know, made something of it. And if my experience with comics is any indication, over time they would have brought back the original members anyway. They would have found a way to bring them back. But I would like to have seen it happen slowly and organically over time. So it's kind of too bad that he didn't get to do that. And when I was reading up on it a little bit, what I saw, if I can find it now, is that when he tried to revive them, I find the page where it is now.
Are you using real paper?
I do have some real paper.
Wow. Usually I'm the only one with real paper.
It's made from tree pulp. But I did see something, and I'm losing it now, where after this, they did eventually revive the series, and they put Kupperberg on it originally with, and I'm trying to remember the artist that they had on it, but whoever that was had some serious, you know, disagreements with Kupperberg as far as how it should be handled.
How many issues did this run?
This was just 3 issues in Showcase.
That's it, huh?
And it did not turn into a series at that point.
Now, didn't it started in Showcase originally, did it? I mean, the
no,
way back.
It started in My Greatest Adventure. I believe it was number 8.
Because I read that whole spiel they had in the back.
Yeah, and then, you know, what's interesting is this is right around the time when they revived the X-Men with the new X-Men. So, you know, in Giant Size X-Men number 1. So it's interesting that they even parallel there as well. Except the difference is, you know, the X-Men, it took a little time, but it really ended up taking off, whereas this never did.
Right, right.
So, what'd you think of this story?
I thought it was a decent introduction. You know, I mean, if you were familiar with the old ones, clearly, okay, we're going to reboot this, guys, with the only holdover being Robot Man, who we're going to jazz up with a new costume. Now, is Robot Man the same Robot Man who's in All-Star Squadron? Or is that a different
robot? I believe that's a different robot.
It's a different one. Okay. Yeah, no, I think
that's the Golden Age Robot Man.
Right, right.
Yeah, I don't believe that's the same.
I mean, clearly this is a much more diverse cast than the original.
Well, I mean, I see parallels between what they're doing here and what they did in the, you know, when they revived the X-Men. You know, at least initially, the thought was you were only bringing Cyclops over from the old team and, you know, and Professor X, obviously. But, you know, the other X-Men were all going to leave, even though they brought Jean Grey in very quickly after that. But, you know, this just has Robot Man as a carryover. And this has kind of got, you know, it's got the one member who's Russian. It's got an African-American member. It's a little bit, you know, of an effort to diversify the cast, which they did in the X-Men as well.
I find it interesting, though. What's it? The Russian negative woman, I guess.
Yeah.
Who's drawn very attractively. She doesn't apparently need the bandages that Larry Traina did, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what the reason for that is.
I do. You don't make an attractive character.
I guess it's the same reason why the live action heroes don't wear their masks very much.
Right. For what we're paying you. It's an interesting concept.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. I think conceptually it's pretty cool, but in practice, I think it just lacked that oomph to pull it in a quick audience.
Also, what is this about the time of the DC implosion, or was that?
Yeah, it's roughly right around that time, and I think that may have been part of the. Showcase lasted. I think after this, they did 3 issues with Power Girl.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then they did 3 Hawkman issues, and then they did one which was like OSS something, and then it got canceled. So it was only going. After the 3 Doom Patrol issues, it was only going 7 more issues before it got canceled anyway. Right. And I have the 3 Power Girl issues also. And I have the 3 Hawkman issues. I don't have the OSS one.
I think I might have gotten one of mine autographed, actually. I have the review. I read the interesting, I'm not sure. I have to look at the book.
It might have been me. When I was at your house, I may have gone down and just started signing some books.
I don't know if you're aware of this. I have an autographed Dazzler number one. Have I ever mentioned that to you?
You have. Do you remember who it's autographed by?
The artist.
The cover artist.
The cover artist.
Because the interior art is by John Romita Jr. And we actually brought them to the con, because he was supposed to be there.
So you're saying we settled?
We settled. Yes.
I had a first marriage like that.
I was going to say it's a repetitious thing in our lives.
No, man. How was that book? I read this in the back of the comic, the Critics Corner, where they talk all about the history of Showcase. I found it fascinating. First issue was supposed to be, was Showcase Firefighters, which is funny because I'm going through these old books and I see the ad for that. I'm like, I'm just curious to see how that was. And they basically say it was terrible.
Well, I mean, I don't know exactly what they were going to do in that issue.
I had a version of Emergency.
Yeah, they introduced a lot of the characters. I mean, Showcase was the same. you and Scott and I were recently talking about anthology books. Showcase was an anthology series where they, a tryout book effectively for different things. And I have 15 issues of Showcase. I have an issue with I Spy. An issue with the Teen Titans. I don't think it's the TV series.
I was going to say Bill Cosby and what's his name?
Robert Culp.
Right, Robert Culp.
I have an issue with the Inferior Five. And then we get to the issues that I'm more of a fan of. We got one with Buona Beast, who I also loved when he was on Brave and the Bold. I have the introduction issue now with the Creeper. First appearance by him. I have the three Doom Patrol issues, the three Power Girl issues. Doom Patrol 100 I have, which is kind of cool because that's a book that has a story, and I believe it's also by Joe Staton, where all the characters that were introduced in Showcase make an appearance at some point in the story. And then I have the three Hawkman issues, and I'm missing that. I don't know why I feel the need to have that OSS Spies of War issue, because it's not like I have a complete run of the series anyway, but I have the last nine issues minus that one. So I feel like at least it gives me a complete 10 in a row, you know?
You like those even numbers.
Excuse me. I have the last 10. I have 10 of the last 11 is what I have. I missed one. So yeah, now I'm liking the odd numbers, but it's an odd team, the Doom Patrol, so I can go with that. I can create a theme there. So I'm looking at the cover that you put up of Metallo has trashed the Doom Patrol. Now that's an actual Doom Patrol issue.
Yes.
And it's a Kupperberg.
That's the first one I ever bought. Because Superman appears in it. By the way, my Showcase that's autographed is by Joe Staton.
Oh, there you go. It almost looks like somebody who's trying to draw Superman in the way that Kirby did when he was doing the Jimmy Olsen series. It doesn't, I wouldn't mistake it for Kirby, but it looks like it's somebody trying to make it look like Kirby.
And he looks constipated.
I think, yeah, it's Eric. That's Eric Larson, I think, is... they had said somebody else was brought on to start that series, and they quickly had, disagreements on where the stories were going to go and how much control each creator had on it. So the artist left, and he was replaced by Larson. And Kupperberg apparently said something like, that Larson really did his best on it, but it wasn't a series that was suited to his style so much.
I'm looking at the cover now myself. And this must have been what I was reading, because it's got Negative Woman on the right-hand side. So my exposure must have been to this second team.
And she's got the bandages there.
Right, so I don't know what happened. Maybe her looks faded.
Maybe. You know, you take away Staten, and you know it's just not the same. So, I guess you know we're gonna have a pretty short episode here because I'm just about ready to rate this.
All right, let's not bore people. Go for it.
So, I think the cover is very cool. Again, I never would have picked it out as Jim Aparo based upon just looking at it, but. I thought it was Staten, actually. So I'm thinking it's Aparo kind of trying to do things in the style Staten was doing it, as opposed to just being thrown out there, you know, with no frame of reference as to what the team was going to be.
Right.
But I think it's pretty cool the way they drew it up, even if it might have confused you as to who the heroes and villains were. But all things considered, you know, considering it was a brand new team, you wouldn't necessarily know that anyway. But I think it's a pretty striking image. I think it could do with a little bit less words on it. It feels, especially the little banner that they were doing, whereas you could be in Superman the movie. I really feel like that took away from a lot of the covers at this era. So I could have done without that, but I still think it's a pretty striking image. And I like the subdued green background, that they gave, so I'm going to say a B plus on it. I'm pretty high on the cover. The interior art, I feel, like I said, I think Staten did a good job of drawing it, but I just don't think his style is suited to this story. So no offense to him, but I'm just going to give it a C. I think if it was a story more suited to him, I probably would have come up with a higher grade. I do think there's some dynamic images in there, though, so I got to give him credit for that. And the story, it's pretty straightforward. I think it, you know, it doesn't have that sense of the outsider group that I'm looking for quite as much. It's more like they're just infighting a little bit.
Right, but they're just starting out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would.
They didn't interact with anybody.
Yeah, I think we needed a little interaction with somebody. I think that's really what it came down to that I feel like it's missing, is maybe have them out in the street and have somebody like throw a rock at Robot Man or something. I don't know. But whatever, I just feel like it didn't get a chance to hit its stride is what it comes down to. So I'm gonna give it a C on the story, too. It's acceptable. It was decent reading, but I just feel it. There's something about it that just could have been better. And overall, I'll give the book a C+.
Well, I like the cover. I thought the cover was okay. I get what they're going for, but I felt it was just maybe a little too dark. I think they could have lightened it up just a pinch. But the actual, you know, images on the cover, I think, were good. It intrigues me, certainly. I love the logo. And I'm going to give the cover an overall rating of a B. The interior art, you know, it's all right. It's serviceable, but it's nothing to write home about. I think it's average art. I think you hit the point that it needed a little quirk to it. So overall, I'm going to give the interior art a C. The story, I'm taking it strictly for what it is. It's an introduction. It gives you a little bit of what went before to get us to where we are now. And I think that accomplished its mission. The introduction to the new team and the battle with Immortus. Like you said, you would have liked a little more, but given that it's a first issue, for lack of a better word, I think the story was all right, and I gave the story a B+. I'm going to give my overall rating on this as a B-.
Yeah, that's fair. So I'm curious, you know, I always enjoy the interaction with the people who listen. So what I would say is, if you have any opinions on this that you'd like to share, or any experiences with this team, go to the Facebook page. If you're not a member of the Facebook group, make a request to join, and we'll, you know, as long as we're confident you're not some sort of spam bot, we're going to let you in. And you know, I always put up the art for the episode. So on that post, you know, put your opinions, put your thoughts. I'd love to hear them. So, all right. It's a short episode, but thank you everybody for tuning in and listening. I hope you enjoyed it. And I enjoyed being here with my good friendiversary pal, Dave, to present it for you.
Always a blast, brother.
We'll see you all next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye!
Thank you so much for listening to our show, and we hope you'll continue to join us each and every week for more good old-fashioned comic book back issue awesomeness. You can contact Back to the Bins to leave feedback, comments, questions, suggestions, and criticisms via email at bins@twotruefreaks.com or by joining the Back to the Bins group on Facebook. Back to the Bins is a proud affiliate of the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Network, which you may find at www.twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is a registered trademark of DiManzo Corp of Milan, Italy. All rights reserved. Please take a moment to stop by the twotruefreaks.com site and check out their many other fine podcasts, won't you? Thanks, and we'll see you next week.